Gopi Jana Balava Girivada Dari. Gopi Jana Balava Girivada Dari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanacharya. Jamuna Tira Vanacharya. Vijaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Kunja Bihari. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Astotara Shata Sri Shrimad is Divine Grace Abhay Charnar Vindavakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayam Vishnupad Paramhamsa Parivajakacharya Astotara Sata Sri Shrimad is Divine Grace Shila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Shri Gangamai Ki Jai, Shri Javanamai Ki Jai, Shrimati Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki Jai. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, the Lordship Sri Sri Radhasham Sundar Ki Jai, the Lordship Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, the Lordship Sri Sri Gaunitai Ki Jai, Iskandu Nuramanrati Dham Ki Jai, Nitai Gau Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the Lotus Feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, before I start class, Bhagavatam class, I was asked to speak a little bit on Lord Balaram, I guess leading up to Balaram Jayanti. So, as we all know that Krishna and Balaram, they are one, excepting for a few apparent differences. They are the same personality of Godhead. Actually, Krishna has two swaroops. One is Prabhava Prakash, and the other one is Vaibhava Prakash. So, Prabhava Prakash is when Krishna manifests, and all his expanded forms looks identical to him. For example, in the Rasa dance, when he expanded himself into as many gopis as they are, I don't know what that number is, but quite a lot. And all these Krishnas looks identical. You can't tell the difference. Same form, same features. They act the same. completely identical, 100%. Similarly, when he expanded himself in Dwarka with his 16,108 queens in those palaces, Krishna was exactly the same. Everyone, all the queens, thought that Krishna was with her only. Similarly, the gopis thought that Krishna was with them only individually. So that is the Prabhava Prakash. So then you have the Vaibhava Prakash, wherein Krishna's manifestation looks different from him. So Lord Balaram is Krishna himself, but he looks different. Krishna is blackish in color. Lord Balaram is whitish in color. Lord Balaram behaves differently from Krishna, and he walks differently. His activities are different. Everything about him is different, but it's the same personality, the one personality of Godhead. Actually, some time ago in Vrindavan, there was an argument between two devotees, Yamuna Mataji and what's the Prabhu? Anyway, and one devotee, one Prabhu there, that they were arguing. So this Yamuna Mataji says that the difference between Krishna and Balaram is that Krishna enjoys with Radharani, whereas Balaram does not and cannot. And then this other devotee, forgot his name, but anyway, he says, no, the only difference between Krishna and Balaram is that Krishna is black and Balaram is white. So then they took their argument to Tamala Krishna Maharaj. So Tamala Krishna Maharaj took the argument to Srila Prabhupada. So he said, so Srila Prabhupada, here is these two devotees are arguing. Mother Yamuna says that the difference between Krishna and Balaram is that Krishna enjoys Radharani whilst Balaram does not. So Prabhupada said, yes, she is correct. She is right. He said, but this other devotee says that the difference between them is that Krishna is black and Balaram is white. Prabhupada said, yes, he's correct. So then Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, but how can both be correct? Prabhupada said, yes, you are correct also. So then he asked, he said, well, how can, you know, what is the truth? How can we understand? Prabhupada said, you judge that for yourself. You figure it out. So it's described that every expansion, so then afterwards on some other occasion, Srila Prabhupada said that the difference between Krishna and Balaram is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He actually said this in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Lord Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead, that he acts in that capacity. He's the same personality, but one as Krishna, the enjoyer, and the other one as Balaram, the facilitator for that enjoyment. So Rupa Goswami explains in his Lagu Bhagavatamrita that everything that manifested for Krishna's pastimes is actually Lord Balaram. When Krishna was inviting Radharani to let's come to the material world, do some pastime, she said no, that she doesn't want to if there is no Govardhan, there is no Yamuna River. So then Balaram took that on, that he's going to manifest in that way. So it's described by our acharyas that Lord Balaram is the Govardhan Hill. He manifested. He is the Yamuna. He is the land of Vrindavan. He is all these manifestations. He's even Garuda that serves Krishna as his personal carrier. He is Krishna's flute. He is Krishna's paraphernalia, his clothing, his bed, and antishesh. Everything is Lord Balaram. So that's his position, that he facilitates. And like that, he act as the supreme personality of servitor Godhead to Lord Krishna. However, as we know in the Ram Leela, Lord Balaram appeared as the younger brother, as Lakshman. And because he was the younger brother, he had to follow instructions from Lord Ram without questions. And we know the story of he had to execute the order of creating the funeral pyre for Mother Sita to go in and to banish her to the forest and so forth. So then he decided next time he's going to come as bigger brother, so he has some authority. So when he came as Lord Balaram, being in that position, so he's a servitor Godhead, at the same time he came as the elder brother with some authority, which means that there are some restrictions in his activities, or he had to act differently. Like, for example, when they were performing the rasa dance, so many devotees want to see the rasa dance, but Lord Balaram wasn't allowed because he's older than Krishna, the older brother, and out of respect and the standard of the Vedic system is that out of respect for Radharani and his younger brother's relationship, that he's not allowed to be there. So if how many of you went to did parikram on Govardhan Hill, around Govardhan Hill? Most of you. So when you pass Govinda Kund and you start taking that inner path, there is a temple of Lord Balaram, which devotees don't go because it's on the hill. But at the bottom, there is a spot that we can go and offer obeisances. So it's described that whilst the pastimes were going on with Krishna and his gopi friends, Radharani, that Balaram was trying to take a peek to see the pastimes. And in so doing, his crown fell off. As he was hiding, his crown fell down. So that spot, there's a spot on the rock where the impression of that crown is. So devotees can go there and offer obeisances. So that's there. And when Krishna got in the kidnapping of Rukmini, that whole pastimes in the 10th canto, when Lord Balaram came to assist, it's described that Krishna was about to kill Rukmini's brother, Rukmi, because he was getting very aggressive. He wants to challenge Krishna to a fight. So at that point, Lord Balaram took the role not only as guru and as elder brother, but as authority, and he was chastising Krishna that, no, this is disrespectful to your family members. Now that you have accepted his sister, he's automatically family, and therefore it's disrespectful to treat him in that way. And then he turned to Rukmini, who is junior to him, and he was giving her Vedic instructions. He was instructing. So like that, he played a part of guru. So also we understand that Lord Balaram is Adi Guru, the first guru. We pray every morning, Mangal Arti, Yasha Prashada Bhagavat Prashado, Yasha Prashada Nagati Katopi. So that with the mercy, by the mercy of guru, one can get Krishna, Bhagavan, Bhagavat Prashada, get the mercy of Bhagavan. Without the mercy, one cannot get the mercy of Krishna. So that is the position of the guru. And Lord Balaram is the Adi Guru, is the very first guru. That without him, Krishna doesn't act on any situation. One devotee gave this example in the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. When Lord Ram told Bali, Sugriv, to fight with his brother Bali, and that he would overcome Bali. So they were fighting, and Lord Ram was hiding behind the tree. And towards the end of the day, Sugriv was about dying because Bali was beating him up, and Lord Ram didn't do anything, as he couldn't have figured the difference between the two of them. So at the end, when Sugriv came and he said, "You promise," and what happened? So then Lord Ram explained, well, I couldn't tell the difference between. So I didn't know what to do. So Lakshman says, who is the Adi Guru, who is Lord Balaram, he stepped in. He said, look, I'm going to give you this garland. So once you get this garland, wear this garland, Ram would be able to assist you because he would know the difference. So they explained that without the intervention of the Guru, the Adi Guru, without the intervention of Lord Balaram, who is Lakshman, then Krishna couldn't do anything. He didn't do anything. So after that, then Lord Ram was able to kill Bali. So without the intervention of the Guru, then nothing happens in our spiritual life. So that is the position of Lord Balaram. So I'll make that short, and now we can go to the class. So we'll be reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, Text 5. Is that correct? Yes, Text 5. Maitreya Uvacha Pitari Prashtite Ranyam Matuhu Priya Chikirshaya Tasmin Bindu Sare Vatsid Bhagavan Kapila Kila Maitreya Uvacha Pitari Prashtite Ranyam Matuhu Priya Chikirshaya Tasmin Bindu Sare Vatsid Bhagavan Kapila Kila Maitreya Uvacha Pitari Prashtite Ranyam Matuhu Priya Chikirshaya Tasmin Bindu Sare Vatsid Bhagavan Kapila Kila. Please chant. Pritare prastite ranyam Matu priya chikirshaya Tasmin bindu sare vatsit Bhagavan kapila kila Pritare prastite ranyam Matu Priya Chikirshaya Tasmin Bindu Sare Vatsid Bhagavan Kapila Kila. Mothers. Maitreya Vacha Pitare Prastite Ranyam Matu Priya Chikirshaya Tasmin Bindu Sare Vatsid Bhagavan Kapila Kila Pritari Prastite Ranyam Matu Priya Chikirshaya Astin Bindu Sayadasa Bhagavan Kapila. Word for word. Maitreya Vacha. Maitreya said. Pitari. When the father. Prashtite. Left. Aranyam. For the forest. Matuhu. His mother, Priya Chikirshaya, with a desire to please, Tasmin, on that, Bindu Sare, Lake Bindu Sarovara. Avachit. He stayed. Bhagavan. The Lord. Kapilaha. Kapila. Kila. Indeed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Maitreya said, when Kardabam left for the forest, Lord Kapila stayed on the strand of the Bindu Sarovar to please his mother, Devahuti. Purport. In the absence of the father, it is the duty of the grown-up son to take charge of his mother and serve her to the best of his ability so that she will not feel separation from her husband. And it is the duty of the husband to leave home as soon as there is a grown son to take charge of his wife and family affairs. That is the Vedic system of household life. One should not remain continually implicated in household affairs up to the time of death. He must leave. Family affairs and a wife may be taken charge of by a grown son. Om Gyana Timranda Se Gyana Jana Shalake Chakshuran Miltami Anatasmai Shri Guru Venama Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shimati Shila Virbhav Prabhu Iti Namane Shri Shri Vrindata Vivira Padapad Pankajadayane Prabhupada Nuvadaya Namah Shri Virbhavve Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschata Deshatarni Hare Krishna. So, here we have the history of Kardama Muni, who is a great sage and great yogi. He's actually a siddha yogi. A very great personality, very religious minded, understand fully the principles of life in this material world, understand his dharma, understands duty, and is acting in that way. So, initially Kardama Muni, this great sage, he got married to the best of personalities, this princess Devahuti, daughter of Manu, who was equally qualified, Mother Devahuti, she was equally qualified to the extent that she stepped down from being the princess of the richest person, the most opulent situation. Her father is Manu, the emperor of the world. So much opulence and facilities. But she stepped down to become the wife of a sage, a yogi who has nothing, who engages in austerities, live in the forest, live in a very, very simple life, the simple of the simplest. And it's described, we mentioned in one of our previous classes, that never was there a time that she ever mentioned her royal heritage that she came from, that she was such a chaste person, that she submitted and she took care of her husband. She engaged in every duty that was required of her. So due to that fact that the wife does everything that's required, it is only natural that the husband be very compassionate and merciful towards her. So in reciprocation, after some time, Kardama Muni, he, by his yogic city, his powers, he created this aerial mansion that can move about within the universe. It wasn't like the 747 or one of those airships that you can hold 500 persons, or now China is coming out with some that probably can hold 1,000 people. But this was an entire city floating in air all by his yogic power. And he didn't take 80 years to build it, so by the time he finished building, he's too old to enjoy it. No, he did it just like that. And so that way, he gave all the facilities to his good and chaste wife, Devahuti. And in so doing, they got 9 daughters. And towards the end, that's when they got 1 son, Lord Kapiladev, who is the Lord himself manifested. So, knowing his duty, that as soon as this son was grown up, and elsewhere Srila Prabhupada describes that a boy is considered mature and fully responsible when he's about 25 years old, and at that time he should get married, and the girl about 16. Srila Prabhupada said like that in his 1974 lecture on this topic. So from that we can understand that probably Lord Kapiladev was about that age, because he was able to, at that point, to take responsibility of his father's household affairs. So once he was mature enough, then he took charge of his mother. He took charge of whatever household affairs were there, so that his father can move on. Karma Muni can move on with his life. So this is the Vedic system. It's essential. It's very necessary. And we can say it's unavoidable, that we have to give up. So that's the Vedic system, that when the children is grown up, then the father moves on and the mother is left behind to be taken care of by the grown-up son. And because of the care of the son, then the mother does not feel so much the separation of her husband. So Srila Prabhupada is stressing this point very much in this purport, that this is very necessary, that all of us have to do it. And we can do it willingly, or it would be done by force, because our bodies would give up anyway. You know, look at the situation of Dhritarashtra in the Mahabharata. His brother Vidura had to drag him out of that situation by force. And he had to be very strong with him. You're old, you're blind, you're hard of hearing, your teeth are falling out, you're coughing up mucus, and still you want to stay here. You know, just get up, it's time to go. We have to move on. So Srila Prabhupada is saying this, and he himself done so. He himself has done that when at a certain stage in his life he left home. But he didn't left irresponsibly. Apparently, I don't know the intimate history, but apparently Srila Prabhupada did had a responsible son to take care of his wife and family affairs. I don't know. I was trying to research that, but so far I haven't found anything. But his sister stepped in, Bhavatarini, the same sister that Srila Prabhupada used to beat and chastise when he was younger. And when she got married, he would go all the way to her house until Srila Prabhupada's father just used some psychology on him and said, look, you don't have to beat her anymore. She has a husband, can beat her now. So like that, Srila Prabhupada stopped that. So that same sister, Bhavatarini, she told Prabhupada that you go and take sannyas and I'll take care. I have 5 grown-up sons. Of course, that's not the way she said it. You probably don't want to know how she said it. But anyway, she told Prabhupada that, look, I have 5 grown-up sons. I'll take charge of your family affairs. You move on. Go ahead and preach. Go ahead, take sannyas. And still, when Prabhupada did that, he used to take care of them. Look, Pram Govinda Prabhu is here. He can give testimony. When he was a young boy, he used to take that check every month in Mayapur, in the Calcutta area, to pay the rent for Prabhupada's wife that they had an apartment somewhere for her. So it's not that he did it irresponsibly. He was very responsible. Lord Chaitanya, he also did. Lord Chaitanya didn't have any biological children, but they made arrangements for Ishana to take care of his wife and his old mother. So he used to be there and take care while Lord Chaitanya left. But he also, while he took sannyas, he was still so affectionate to his mother, setting the example for all of us, that this line here, this phrase here, Priya Chikirshaya, very, very significant in his verse, that to please his mother, he acted in a certain way. So Lord Chaitanya, what did he do? He stayed nearby, so he stayed right in Jagannath Puri. He didn't go all the way to Vrindavan, so that his mother can get news of him and there can be some communications. So in this verse, Lord Kapila Dev is doing a similar thing. He's staying with his mother just to please his mother, to take care of her, to assist her, to let her not feel that separation, whilst the father moves on to the forest. The father, he move on with the next stage of his life. So, which is very essential. So that has to happen. So, of course, nowadays, first of all, there's hardly any forest around, even in India. You know, when I was traveling around Vrindavan, Delhi area, I was looking around and, you know, you can't see forest anymore. There's hardly, even now Vrindavan, they're calling it a concrete jungle. You know, there are hardly any trees. You have to do so much to protect one tree for growing so that it is not dying. So anyway, so what it means for us, how does that translate of leaving and going to the forest? How does that translate into our situation in present-day Kali Yuga when no one has that idea or concept or understanding? So Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada set that example, set that pace, that your vanaprastha life, your forest life, translates to moving on from family life and engage more in preaching activities. Srila Prabhupada himself did that. He moved on to full-time preaching activities. And he created a house in which the whole world can live, that where men and women, husband and wife, can finish their grihastha business, and they can stay in this institution, they can stay in this house that Srila Prabhupada built worldwide, and be full-time preachers, and fulfill their obligations as human beings, fulfill your obligations as devotees, fulfill your obligations as Srila Prabhupada, like that. So there is place for every one of us within this Krishna consciousness movement to be able to fully function in Krishna consciousness despite our age limits. There is every facility. We just have to look around and see what way we can fit. And even Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said so also. He said everyone should know that he has three responsibilities. We discussed this several times in the past. That he has the responsibility of take care of his own spiritual life. No one can do that for him. Chanting his rungs, following. Then he has a responsibility, number two, to take care of everyone else around him, his immediate responsibilities, like his wife, children, or students, or whatever, whoever are his subjects. And then he has the third responsibility of doing something for this Lord Chaitanya's movement, this Krishna consciousness movement, take some responsibility or responsibilities, as we find so much. So we have that responsibility from day one to live our life in such a way so that we can not only take care of our personal needs, but we can mold it in such a way so that
the entire world can also be benefited in some way or the other. So that is a standard, which is a very, very high standard that Srila Prabhupada set. So that is a translation from moving on to forest life. That's what it means for us, that we move in to the forest of the material world to enlighten or to help within our capacity as much as possible to enlighten others of spiritual awareness. Similarly, the grown-up son is left behind, and Srila Prabhupada mentioned it in his purport very clearly, that they should be and function to the best of their ability. Srila Prabhupada particularly mentioned. So why he used that phrase, I don't quite understand, but it obviously is significant because Srila Prabhupada said, he told Rameshwar Swami then, that I put 100 or 1,000 thoughts into every word in his purports. So everything that Srila Prabhupada placed in his purports was very well and carefully thought out. So why Srila Prabhupada mentioned like that, I'm yet to understand, that the grown-up son should perform this duty to the best of his ability, whatever that translates to mean. So it's our responsibility to mold ourselves, mold our life, mold our consciousness, mold our surroundings, so that everything can go on. We have life in this material world, and especially now in the Krishna consciousness movement, there are hardly brahmacharis around. Our majority of our institutions are actually run by householders, grihastas. All preaching activities, like brahmacharis and sannyasis, are like rare pictures. Yeah, and anywhere you go, you find the grihastas are there in so large quantities. And they're the one that's expected to take this responsibility. They are the one who started this movement initially. When Srila Prabhupada, Sannyas, God brothers, they weren't able to succeed in spreading Krishna consciousness in the West. Srila Prabhupada sent his very young Western disciples. They were so young they didn't even understand much of the principles of Krishna consciousness. But with that infusion of Prabhupada's mercy, like these, how many couples that went to England? Was it 3? Shamsundar Malati, Mataji, Mukunda Prabhu and his wife, and somebody else. So, like that, they went and they exploded. You know, Krishna consciousness exploded in Europe. Shivananda Prabhu was, how old was he? 17 years old, young boy. Went, was it Germany or somewhere? Didn't even know the language. Germany. And he had an explosion of Krishna consciousness. So these young devotees, these young grihastas, they were so much in the mood of Srila Prabhupada's instructions that they were able to do so much. So not only should we wait until we get old, you know, some of us can do it from the beginning, some go through grihastha life and family, and then we can move on to take up responsibilities. So whichever way, again, to the best of your ability, we should take this seriously. This is the Vedic standard. This is what we're expected to do. This is the contract, pretty much, that we're signing with Srila Prabhupada, getting in touch with this Krishna consciousness movement, joining this movement, that we have the obligation to do something substantial for human society. So not only like, it's we can say it's good enough to just practice, like we see so many of older devotees, physically older, they would maybe sit at home and practice the principles of Krishna consciousness. That's also very good, but we should strive, we should all strive to go out there and do something more. There are so many facilities now, there are so much internet facilities that you can preach on the internet, you can be behind the scenes, you can preach on the internet, you can create such a revolution in the impious lives of this misdirected civilization, as in the preface of the Bhagavatam, that verse is there. So it is our duty and responsibility to understand this Vedic context, put it in today's situation, apply time, place, and circumstance, and function in that capacity. So we need to do that. And if we don't do it willingly, we would have to do it forcibly, that if we want to stay, you know, enjoy our house, land, and retirement money, sitting in Elachu or anywhere else, it's not going to happen. Because our bodies would shut down, everything would go away. Like I just got a news of one of my brother's non-devotee associate. He just called me and told me 2 days ago that this person, big rich man, he started this Hindu mandir and yoga, this, that, next. But he was so much caught up enjoying with business and engage his family members and so forth. And next thing they know, they found either he or his son dead in his car. His gun is next to him and a huge pile of cash sitting right there. He was shot. They're still investigating as to whether he shot himself or somebody shot him, whatever the case may be. So anyway, so these things would happen, you know, by some outer force, exterior forces, we would be forced to move on anyway. So it's better we do it willingly. As Srila Prabhupada, you know, set the example that initially Srila Prabhupada was crying when he was getting dreams from his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. He was dreaming him, tell him, you have to leave, you have to, you know, get out, come and do something better. Srila Prabhupada is crying, how can I do this? But then the Guru also made arrangements, sent his sister involved. And when Srila Prabhupada moved to Mathura, he took Vanaprastha. He was wandering. He was actually staying at a dharmshala. He had no idea, no place to stay, no money, nothing. So then this thought of sannyas was really bothering him a lot. So Srila Prabhupada was trying to avoid this as much as possible. So one day, one of his Guru Maharaj's, one of his godbrother's disciple, Kesha Maharaj's disciple, saw Srila Prabhupada roaming around in Mathura. And he approached him. He said, aren't you such and such Babu? He said, yes. And he said, okay, what are you doing here? You're struggling. You're staying in this dharamshala. Come and stay with us in my Guru Maharaj's ashram. So then Srila Prabhupada moved in. I actually had the fortune of visiting that ashram. He moved in there. And as soon as his godbrother, Kesha Maharaj, came back from where he was, he went out somewhere, he was insisting on him to take sannyas. So Srila Prabhupada thought, well, okay, you know, he doesn't want to do this, but okay, he's going to play a trick on him. So in the ashram, there was this other devotee, this other brahmachari, Sanatan Prabhu. He was 95 or 96 years old, something like that. And he didn't want to take sannyas. No one can get him to take sannyas. So Srila Prabhupada told his godbrother, he said, you're insisting, but if Sanatan Prabhu takes sannyas, then I'll take sannyas. And immediately Sanatan Prabhu said, if you say that, then yes, I'll take sannyas. So then Prabhupada had no choice. So that's when Prabhupada took sannyas, and you see that picture? with Kesha Maharaj in the center, Sanatan Maharaj on one side, Prabhupada on the other. That picture is there. So that's how Prabhupada took sannyas. So somehow or the other, we can either allow Maya to drag us out, or we can allow Krishna's intervention through his arrangement to drag us out, to point us in the right direction. So one way or the other is going to happen. We would have to give up. Our bodies will not allow us. And if we don't mold our consciousness, then our consciousness would not allow us either. So therefore, we would just drag down to the material status of life, which is not the goal of a devotee. So, and you know, these are some of the hints that Srila Prabhupada is giving here, that we must, you know, it's vital in our life that we must do these things. There's no question. Lord Chaitanya set the example. He was such a young person, only 24 years old. His wife was only 16 years old. But he gave up. He did, you know, so that he can set the example. Srila Prabhupada didn't want to do it, but he did it anyway for our sake. So we can also strive to the best of our abilities to engage in a similar way. And Srila Prabhupada said, like he gave the example with his father, that if household life is very comfortable or very, not comfortable, but very cooperative with the husband and wife is cooperating very much, then there is no need to leave home. So Prabhupada said his father was a pure devotee and his father never left home because facilities were there. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, he never gave up. He never left household life because his wife was a very, very qualified person. She was like a Mahabhagavata, Bhagavati Devi. She was very qualified of a devotee. And so she was supporting and giving all cooperation for him to carry on his spiritual mission. And he was so forceful in his preaching that the British government, who was in rule at the time, they commented that if there were three more like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Kedarnath Datta, that they were good enough to throw them out of India. So that's how powerful Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was. And he was constantly preaching, even household life. So in that way, actually according to our standards, that is actual sannyas life, with all you're living with family. Just like it's stated that the word brahmachari, the word grihastha doesn't really exist or shouldn't exist within the Krishna consciousness movement. Because anyone who follows strictly the grihastha ashram, Prabhupada said that they are actually grihastha brahmacharis, because the mentality is not to stay in the house. They're staying in the house, but their mindset is not in the house. So what it says that a devotee is from this world, but he's not of this world. So similarly, a grihastha should be from the house, but he shouldn't be of the house. His consciousness, his focus should be on Krishna as the center. So these are some thoughts that I have on these verses. This verse, rather. If there's any questions or comments or corrections, we can take it. Does anyone has anything to add, anything to say, anything correct? So anyway, so we can stop, seeing that there is no questions. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.